Adversity. We all go through it. We all rise above the challenge. One day, adversity will take us from this place. But that day is not today. Together, we go through paramount tribulations. We go through rigorous adventure. And at the end of the day, we all gather around. We talk about what we're thankful for. We live another day. And we get ready and prepare. And then, on Wednesdays, we listen to episode 19 of Tavern Tussle. Gentlemen, welcome back. It is the 19th and only 19th episode of Tavern Tussle. It is our triumphant return. We've leveled up, if you will. Oh, I mean, I don't know. I don't know the case. I don't know what leveling up is in real life. Is it getting a promotion? Is it having a baby? Is it what is it? What point in your life have you hit level 20? You know what I'm saying? Because after level 20, you retire. And so, here we are. We're level 6 right now. Let's say in life we are level 6. But yeah, it has been far too long, and I apologize for the absence. I have had needles stuck in my back and stuff injected into my spine, and just a lot is going on. There's a lot going on in life, but here I am. For you, with you, and we're talking Dungeons and Dragons, or role-playing games in general, whatever you want to say. But first off, our Waterdeep Dragon Heist game that I am DMing is going on. We are 2 sessions in. My fiance Aaliyah is playing a Water Genasi rogue named Rhea Lemire. Andy is playing a Tabaxi rogue named Damaris. Kyle is a dwarf druid named Atticus, and Karateka Christian is an elf warlock named Valtrice. Now, that party is very interesting. 2 rogues, a druid, and a warlock. And it has its balance issues, but it has its strengths, obviously. So it's interesting to go in without that, you know, holy trinity of tank heals, DPS kind of thing. I like it so far. They all came up with, you know, interesting characters. They meld well together at the table, which is always important. We've role played a lot more in these 2 sessions in this campaign than I think we really did in my last campaign I ran, which was Tomb of Annihilation. So that's really nice. Super good. It makes us, like, I plan out for this, and this to happen kind of thing. Like, Waterdeep Dragon Heist is so open-ended, you know. You can go so many different ways. I kind of just, oh, well, they're for sure going to do this, and so we should get to there. And so far, with all the role-playing, it's taken a long time to get through things, which, you know, by all means is wonderful. I don't mind at all. You know, they're already level 2, so we're moving into the thick of it, if you will. But yeah, nothing super interesting yet. I will update you guys on that. I was thinking about doing a campaign diary, like after a session, going through recording like what happened kind of thing. But I don't know if that's as entertaining as an actual play podcast. Let me know what you think. If you're interested at all in what goes on in our games, hit us up at Tavern Tussle on Twitter or email us taverntussle@gmail.com. But yeah, some housekeeping, some things around the world. Wizards of the Coast is doing another Dungeons & Dragons survey, so go do it. Google Dungeons & Dragons. You know, go to the website. Do the survey. This one is about class and race balance and stuff like that. So I would, you know, if you have something, if you hate the way Rangers are in the Player's Handbook, like 95% of people do, go do the survey. Let them know what you don't like about Ranger and all this stuff. And then they can take this and build on it. And perhaps this means a new edition of Dungeons & Dragons is on the horizon. I don't know because I have no context. But, I mean, they have to be working on 6th edition. You know, like, it's just one of those things where it has to be out there in the universe. Or is 5th edition what we're going to have for the rest of time, and they're just going to make more supplements and add more things onto it, like expansions, like a video game? It's 5th edition, our World of Warcraft? Is it going to be the Dungeons & Dragons we play for 20 years? I don't know. But do the survey and help them figure that out. Also, there was a new issue of Dragon Plus that came out yesterday, if you are listening to this on the day that we released the show. It has some nice articles on Dungeon the Mad Mage and Guildmaster's Guide to Ravnica, which are both coming out at the beginning of November. It also has a nice article on Betrayal Legacy, which Betrayal at House on the Hill and Betrayal at Baldur's Gate are two of my favorite board games. And if you don't know what those are, I definitely suggest looking them up, going to Barnes & Noble, picking it up, going on Amazon, whatever. Betrayal at House on the Hill is one of the best board games I've ever played. It's so interesting. And it has an expansion pack on top of it that adds different stories to the board game that are a little bit more concise than the ones that originally came with the board game. And they're just so good. And they have Betrayal at Baldur's Gate, which is basically Betrayal in the D&D universe. And it's really good too. So, I mean, both of those definitely check out. But I'm excited for Betrayal Legacy because your choices matter in the board game, and it moves on to the next game. So it's kind of like a mini role-playing game, but in little hour to hour and a half long chunks of just a board game that you're playing. So it's really cool. Some of you might have played Pandemic Legacy, which is the same way. You play a board game, and then the decisions you make during that play session move on to the next board game playing session. It's cool, okay? But they have a nice article in Dragon Plus about Betrayal Legacy, which is coming out November 9th, I think. So I'm super excited because those board games are so good. They are doing spectacular work at Avalon Hill with all the stuff they're releasing. Like, I think they just released Dungeon Mayhem, which is kind of like Uno mixed with Dungeons and Dragons. And it seems like a lot of fun. So, I mean, hey, we don't have to just play tabletop role-playing games all the time. Sometimes you just want to get together with your buddies and just play a good board game. And Avalon Hill makes some fantastic board games. So yeah, do yourself a favor and look those up. But now, we'll get into the meat of the episode, if you will. And that's what I want to talk about today. I think means a lot. This is basically season 2 of Tavern Tussle, even though it's not really season 2. I just wanted to have a good reason for having that break in the middle because I'm going to say it's season 2. So anyway, we're going to talk about leveling up in a role-playing game or a tabletop role-playing game specifically. So why is leveling up important? I mean, it's a core fundamental of pretty much all role-playing games. Numenera did do it a little different. Didn't use the experience point aspect, which I kind of liked Numenera and the way they did it. You had to level up, you know, a pool of skills, three different things, and then you got a tier advancement. Like, tiers were kind of like the level. And there weren't a lot of tier advancements throughout the entire life of a character, but they still, you know, built up to something, which was kind of nice. But the number one reason why leveling is important is players like to level up. I mean, that's just the meat and potatoes of the issue. You know, like, players like getting new abilities. They like having bigger hit point pools. They like when their skills get better because their proficiency bonus goes up. And if you allow them, players love feats. Players love to find the feats that break your game. They just, it's one of those things that players like. You know, like, it makes them feel a sense of accomplishment for what they've done. Like, not only is the story progressing, and, oh, look, we killed the dragon that's attacking the town, but holy shit, I just got this new feat for no reason because I killed a dragon. Yep, that happened. My hit points went up because I did not die. Fantastic. It's also important to remember that player power levels sets up important story beats. So if you're doing a homebrew campaign and you have this villain that's like all powerful and stuff, and he's basically like this level 10 spellcaster, like, how much they interact with the party is really going to determine what level the party is. You know, like, how far they're going to go into conflict with the party at any given time. You're not going to have a level 10 spellcaster fight a party of level 3s. It's not smart. It's not going to happen. So you can use leveling up to set up important story beats. And also, the game just starts to feel stale if you haven't leveled up in a while. Like, the two main ways of gaining experience, milestone experience, where the party does certain things, and then they gain a level from hitting that milestone. And Curse of Strahd used it very well in collecting all the artifacts and all that stuff. And there's experience-based leveling, which is what I usually use when I DM, just because it makes it easy, because you can throttle experience when you want the leveling process to slow down, and you can kind of, you know, like, give them bonus experience when you need them to gain levels a little bit quicker. And it just makes it easier on yourself to kind of do that, because there can be a time where, you know, milestone experience where you're, you know, oh, they did this, they get a level. And then, like, right after that, they're like, oh, they also did this thing, which gives them a level. And then all of a sudden, you have all this story planned for level 5 characters, and now they're level 7. And it just, you know, it mucks it up a little bit. But at the same time, like, you can't wait a long time for players to gain a level. I mean, I like to do it this way. So they start off at level 1. It'll take 1 or 2 sessions for them to get to level 2 and, like, in the groove. I mean, usually by the end of the first session, they'll be level 2, probably, just because no one likes being level 1 for a long time, because it is the most dangerous time in D&D. And then after that, like, I really do think, you know, 2 or 3 sessions per level is usually a really good balance, especially if it's, you know, a role-playing heavy campaign like Waterdeep Dragon Heist is. Like, I think, you know, they've done 2 sessions, they're level 2. I think we'll do 1 or 2 more sessions and they'll be level 3, so on and so forth. Just because, you know, you want to stretch it out. You don't want them to get all powerful super quickly and then your campaign just comes to an end. Like, you want those wide swaths of time where they're working through things and they're working towards things, and then they're rewarded with that level up, and they just feel more accomplished. They're like, look at all we did and look how much I've grown, kind of thing. And that brings a very important question, is how do you level up? I mean, just think about what it takes in real life to learn new skills. Think about learning another language. Like, I want to learn Spanish, right? I'm not going to learn Spanish overnight. I'm not going to spend, you know, the day at my fiance's grandmother's house with her speaking Spanish to me, and I'm just going to learn it just like that. No, it's going to take time and effort. You have to put in real work to achieve things. And I know that sounds stupid and like work, and you don't want that in your D&D, but just think about it. Think about it for a second. How much cooler would it feel if your wizard has to learn new spells? They don't just automatically get new spells. You know what I'm saying? Like, how come your level 4 wizard levels up to level 5 and then just automatically knows these two spells out of nowhere? You know, why not make it to where they need to find a scroll of a certain spell? Or perhaps you know your wizard is close to leveling up, and so one of the loot items when they fight a boss or something is an old spell book with all these different spells, and they have to take time to, you know, to learn the way the spell works and copy that spell into their spell book, and then, you know, take the time from there to actually learn the spells and level up, kind of thing. For example, when everyone went to level 2 in my Dragon Heist campaign, I gave them each a little vignette explaining to them why they were gaining this level. So for the rogues, you know, I told them, you know, you have had this combat experience, you feel more at home with your blades. You know, like Andy was picking locks and checking for traps and stuff. So, like, him seeing traps he'd never seen before and, you know, him getting more experience with his thieves' tools, like, his skills got better, kind of thing. And then him watching the combat techniques of his party and seeing how the enemies perform and what they do and, you know, dodging and ducking and all this stuff, like, over, like, throughout this experience of being in combat and using his skills improved. And so he, you know, leveled up, kind of thing. And Christian's playing a warlock. So warlocks are one of those things where they get the power from a patron. And so it was very important to me for Christian's character, Valtrice, to always get his abilities when he needed them or from his patron in a time where they would be, you know, worthy. And so when Christian leveled up, you know, I had him, I was super original, and I had him have a vision, like a dream of this thing that was happening. And his patron was there and he offered him a chalice. And when he drank from the chalice is when he got his new abilities for leveling up, kind of thing. And it fits in because his patron's like the Undying, so like the chalice is full of blood, blah, blah, all this stuff. But you just, I think it adds another layer of significance when there's a reason behind your party leveling up. There's a reason they gained those skills. And it just makes it more fun for you as a DM, and it makes it more fun for your players. Because now they have this tangible story, this thing that was told to them, or this thing they developed on their own of like, yeah, like I took all this experience from all these battles I've been in and I turned it into this level that raised my hit points and gave me a feat because it makes sense. And RP heavy leveling can be modified to whatever you want it to be. It can go as slow a pace as you want to as quick a pace as you want. And, I mean, wizards are a perfect example of this. Now, in the player's handbook, it does say they learn 2 spells every level. Well, maybe your player character wizard hasn't found a second spell they want to learn. And so maybe you can work at the DM like, oh, I kind of want to, you know, wait and hold on to this spell I got this level until I find something I'm interested in. And then, you know, like maybe a session later they find a spell book and it has fireball in it and they're like, yep, that's it, I'm learning this spell because it's fireball, duh. And so you can really break it down in a way that's more interesting for your players and for you. And not everyone's gonna be down for that, you know. I understand you got murder hobos who just want to kill and level quickly and treat it like a video game, and that's fine. You know, play the Dungeons & Dragons you want to play. I am just giving it to you from my perspective. And having a player character have to learn something from someone else or have extremely good reasons for being able to pick up that ability or feat just makes it better. If someone's going to get great weapon master or great weapon fighter or whatever it is where you take 5 away from your attack roll and you add 10 to damage, like, yeah, it makes sense that a barbarian would just develop that over time, or a fighter would develop that over time. But if you're a wizard, you take that, like, where's your skill set? What do you mean you can just do that all of a sudden? You know, like, I feel like it needs to make sense in the world for it to make sense for your character to get it as they level. It's just one of those things where it's not something you think about really when you're planning out a Dungeons & Dragons game. Is you're like, you don't sit down on day one and you're like, how am I going to get you guys to level 2? You have the experience for it, but have you earned it? You know? Can I quantify a reason your hit point pools go up? Can I explain why the wizard now has more spells in a spell book? You know, and answering little questions like that just add flavor to your game, in my opinion. They take something so trivial as leveling. It's just something that happens every couple weeks. But here you are given a reason for it, and you're giving, you know, an experience that your party might remember. You could do that one thing with a warlock's patron that they hold on to for the rest of the campaign. They're like, man, like, when I got my level 5 spells, like, that dream was, that was intense. And you wouldn't have had that before if you didn't put this in your game, if you just let them level up and get whatever whenever, you know? It's just one of those things. And leveling too fast has pros and cons, and leveling too slow definitely has its pros and cons. The only way you're going to figure this out is playing around with it with your group. Like, this is not a science. I can't tell you the perfect way to level. You know, I mean, a good rule of thumb, every 2 or 3 sessions from level 1 to 5, they gain a level. And then every 3 to 4 sessions, 5 to 10, they gain a level. That's just kind of what I do. And unfortunately, I've never really run a game over level 10 because, you know, stuff happens and the stories end and then a new story comes out from Wizards and I want to play that one. So, yeah, and that's just one of those things. Like, time and practice is everything. So I hope you learned something from this little talk about leveling up, because it's not something you think about every time you play D&D. And I think if you just change the way you level up, you can change the game forever. That was dramatic. Super dramatic. But yeah, I am back. I want to thank you so very much for being patient and listening. For some reason, I keep getting Twitter followers even though I haven't posted anything new. So hey, I am not mad at that. So yes, hope you are all doing well. I hope all of you in the path of Hurricane Michael down in Florida in the southern east United States are safe. Please, please, please be safe. I will be, you know, sending happy thoughts and prayers to you guys. But yeah, here we are. Another one in the books. Monster Monday will not pick up next week, but it will pick up the week after. I have some brilliant ideas for some monsters that I'm super excited to share with you. I just really want to finesse them down. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. But yeah, that was me. That was Cambams. That was leveling up. And I hope you guys enjoyed it. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening. From the bottom of my heart, I thank you. If you want to reach out to us, ask us anything you want. You can reach us on Twitter at Tavern Tussle, or you can email us taverntussle@gmail.com. That has not changed. That'll remain the same forever. As always, thank you. And I will see you next week.